From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 29th day of July 2019. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Todd Hubbs will join us to discuss his latest pinnings for the Farm Doc Daily website and the weekly outlook, and we'll take a look at the weather forecast, too, with John Davis of Risk Pulse out of Chicago and the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here are the numbers as they finished up in Chicago. September corn today at $4.17, up 2.5 cents. December at $4.27, 2.5 higher. In the March at $4.36 3/4, up 2.25. May corn 2 higher at $4.40 3/4. August soybeans 2.5 higher at $8.85 3/4. November at $9.04 1/4, up 3.25. January 9.17 1/2, up 3.25. Next year's March at $9.29 1/4, 3.5 higher. Bean oil down 4 cents. The bean meal up $1.10. Soft red winter wheat in the September at $5.03 1/2, up 7.5. And the hard red September up 4.5 cents. It finished at $4.36 1/2. Live cattle in the October at $109.45, down 45. September feeders at $142.82 1/2, down $1.27 1/2. And lean hogs in the October $3 limit lower at $76.45. Crude oil about 61 cents higher, ethanol down 0.2 cents. Heating oil at 7 2/10 lower, and the gasoline on the RBOB opinion 0.2 cents lower. Natural gas down 2 9/10. The Dow up 64 points. The U.S. dollar is just about unchanged on the afternoon, and gold futures up $1.10. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, to help us make some sense of what's been happening in Chicago. Hey, Kurt, thanks so much for being with us today.
Well, good afternoon, Ty. Glad to be here.
Well, let's start with what happened in the grains and the oil seeds at the CME Group. What took place for the day?
Well, we started the overnight session a little lower on ideas, you know, some rain coming across the Midwest and some cooler temperatures and possibly China coming in, buying some ag products tariff-free. And as the night session went on, the forecast of some drier conditions once we get past today, and also ideas that maybe we're going to see a little bit of a tighter supply-demand balance sheet as we go into the August report, generates a buying interest, especially on some oversold conditions, provided support. Technically, it's kind of encouraging. We made a new low and closed higher on the day. A little bit of a hook reversal up. The key is to follow through and to hold these present lows. In the corn complex, you know, we're looking at a 3 to 4 week and a 10 week cycle low due at this time. So I'd be welcome to see some recovery here as we kind of move forward. This afternoon, we'll see what the crop conditions report shows, and it's basically just about unchanged. Corn conditions, average guess is 57% good to excellent versus last week 57%. Soybeans 54% versus last week's 54%. Wheat harvest expect to be about 81% complete. So we'll see how that unfolds. I imagine we'll see a little deterioration here in the east and maybe some improvement in the north where they received some rains there last week. Wheat was the leader. Wheat's bouncing up against the downtrend line here. If we could take out today's highs, we could probably see some technical buying come in and support wheat prices here short term. Fundamentally, here in the U.S., wheat harvest is wrapping up. This afternoon, wheat harvest progress reports expected to show wheat harvest about 81% complete versus 69% complete. And on the world news, even though we do have plenty of wheat around the world, we could see maybe a little tighter wheat number come September due to Russia and some European countries, especially experiencing some extreme heat in some areas there. So a little bit of optimism today. We just need to see if we can find some follow-through buying interest as we go through the week here.
How's the trade looking forward to this week's meetings with the Chinese?
Well, I think that's just an old, worn-out subject. probably the U.S. Chinese news is on the bean side of the equation more than anything, is that they've purchased some beans, but the shipments just aren't happening. You know, they can buy all they want, but they need to take those inventories. The concern now is some of these old crop purchases could be rolled into new crop marketing year. So we'll see what develops. But man, with the African swine fever and their feed demand being nicked pretty hard, it's going to be awful hard to force a country to buy feed if they don't have the livestock to feed it to.
What are you hearing from the producers when they call in now about the condition of their crops?
Well, it varies. To the locations, it seems that, you know, the crop during the heat there and continues to roll in some areas. Probably the new news on crop is you take the northern third of Illinois, and probably need to interview an agronomist on this one. It seems like 100% of the beans are cupping. They don't know if that's some chemical drift or what's going on there, but the atmosphere's juiced, and I guess the seed companies and chemical companies are having some pretty aggressive meetings here this week to see what's going on there. Bean height's still a concern. You know, the guys are still scratching their head on how these beans are going to make it. You know, no better double crop in some areas. And actually, there's still beans going in the ground in southern Illinois. So just a highly variable situation. As we mentioned before, average black layer for corn, I think, is October 15th. So we're going to have to see if the farmer's almanac is going to be right or not. This crop can make it.
Yeah, so we've got a long ways to go, but we've got a long ways to go and a short time to get there, I guess, and relatively speaking. Producers talk very much about having to lay in supplies of propane and getting themselves ready to dry down a crop that may make it to black layer but may not get very dry yet this fall.
Yeah, there's been a lot of conversation on that. You know, we're going to have some heat, and the forecast is cool, so that's not going to speed the crop on very fast in through here. Dave Chatterton, he did a little piece on that propane and to be looking at that here. And actually, there's some opportunities there to book some of that in if the supplier will work with you on that. So he'd be a good one to give you an update on that.
And well, you talk to Dave on Tuesdays about the Ag Energies, though he's not up for a couple of weeks, and we'll do that tomorrow with folks out of Kansas State University. Dave, of course, this was Strategic Farm Marketing. He was on the Commodity Week program with us last week. That was a good program. Still up on our website. You're there, too. So people can visit that one as well, hotwillag.org. Anything else before I let you go for the day?
Yeah, livestock kind of took it on the chin in through here. On the pork side, they're not acting very good for the news that, you know, China could be buying some pork tariff-free and being a little bit more aggressive. The concern there is there's buying Argentine pork and some other sources around the world. But seasonally, the livestock market has a little bit of a correction here for a couple weeks. So if they hammer this pork too much, I'd be looking at buying some retracement levels in through here as an investment with the idea they'll eventually come to the table.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
All right, take care.
You too. Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media's Public Radio for the Farming World. Find us online. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like. From the Opening Market Report to the Closing Market Report each and every business day. Posted at WILLAG.org, WILLAG.org. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist, now joins us here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. He's written an article for the Farm Doc Daily website. Take a look this week at the potential prospects for demand in soybeans. What'd you write about?
I was just looking at how we're finishing up the current marketing year in relation to USDA projections and thinking about the 1920 marketing year and what kind of demand we might see for soybeans. This year, I think USDA is pretty much on track. We might see 1.7 billion exports. We saw a really good export inspection number last week. And I think the crush is on pace for the 2.085 billion bushels that they lowered it to from 2,100 in July. We're basically on pace, but if we're on pace, that means we're going to carry out more than a billion bushels of soybeans this year. And when I look forward to 1920, it really does come back to China. You know, we've got the trade impasse with the Chinese, and I'm not really optimistic on the tariffs being lifted anytime in the next marketing year. It could happen, but based on, you know, negotiations over the last year, it doesn't seem like either side's in any kind of hurry to come to some kind of resolution. So with those tariffs in place and what looks like a larger crop in South America, stiff competition as we move into 1920, and on top of that you have the African swine fever ripping through large parts of Asia, anywhere between 20 to 30% of the hog herds down, maybe 30% of the breeding herd, and these are just numbers that may or may not be right. You know, this is official numbers out of China, which you can rarely trust, or I rarely trust them at least. You know, demand's down. Like, when we look at USDA projections for demand, it's about 260 million bushels lower than what we saw previously to the outbreak. And on top of that, big crops in South America and expanding crops. So it makes for, you know, a really competitive year for exports for U.S. soybean producers. Now, having said all that, it really is still coming back to supply this year. I don't think the prospects are strong for exports next year. I think crush will be well. USDA is projecting 2.115 billion bushels of crush. I think that's probably pretty close, if not higher, depending on what kind of... We've seen it sort of weaken into the last part of this marketing year as refitting starts, but the herd's up pretty big out there, and if China finally does turn to us for some protein, I think the crush margins and biodiesel production for soy oil and soy meal, we could have a pretty good crush year next year. I don't think their 1.875 billion bushels of exports going to get hit, but we may get some resolution to make that happen. Having said all that, you know, even with those kind of USDA use numbers, if we got below 45 bushels per acre yield this year on the soybean crop at the current 80 million acre planted acres, we would still carry out 500 million bushels in 1920. But that's a far cry from a billion, and an even poorer crop could see it go even lower, even under USDA's use numbers. With weaker demand, we'd need that yield to be a little bit lower. Right now, the uncertainty on the soybean crop's huge. I think there may be more soybean acres out there than USDA is currently saying, and the yield's up in the air. You know, here in Illinois and large parts of the Eastern Corn Belt, soybean crop does not look good right now. So we'll see how it goes as we move through the fall. But, you know, if we see a slightly less strong demand that USDA is projecting and a decent crop, we're still going to be carrying out a pretty large ending stock in 1920. So, you know, when you're thinking about marketing beans, these summer rallies, they may be a point to price new crop beans if you think you got the beans. There's always South American production issues that can crop up over the winter if you want to wait and see. So there's a load of uncertainty in the soybean market right now, but overall I expect demand to be relatively flat.
One ending stocks stimulates what moves? So from the billion bushel carryout and current price to say 925 and 975 or 10 bucks or higher, what kind of ending stocks do we at 10? Are we 500 million and $10 beans? No. Cash? No.
Now, if we're carrying out 500 million in 1920, it would be hard pressed to hit $10 beans. That to me is more in the $9 bean range, maybe even lower. We're forgetting even with a billion carryout, we're still in the cash prices of beans in the upper eights in a lot of places here in Illinois, which I think it's somewhat surprising considering the kind of stocks we're carrying around. And a lot of that speculative drive on the trade issue. But we've seen, I think we should build in an expectation of lower demand from China due to this disease problem and competition from South America, you know, barring a crop shortfall there. You know, $9, if you can get $9 beans, cash beans over the next marketing year, I think that would be a pretty good pricing opportunity. Now, if this crop goes to the devil this year, yeah, we could see getting ending stocks back down in the 150, 200 million bushel range. And then when we're in that range, you're talking about some nonlinear price movements. But I think it's too early to start speculating on that kind of crop shortfall this year.
Hey, thanks so much.
Yes, sir.
Todd Hubbs is an agricultural economist at the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Monday afternoon. Visit our website, listen to us on demand at willag.org, willag.org. You can also find us as a podcast in the Google Play Store, on Stitcher, SoundCloud, in Spotify, and also by using the NPR One app. We're now joined by John Davis. He is a meteorologist at Risk Pulse in Chicago. Will help us take a look at the weather forecast for the agricultural growing regions of the planet. Hey, good afternoon to you, John. Thanks for being with us.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Let's start here in the Midwest. What's your forecast for the Corn Belt?
Well, for the Midwest, as we look at the next couple of weeks, it's kind of a classic, what we call a northwest flow jet stream pattern, meaning that the jet is running from northwest to southeast across the belt. That's because we have a ridge of high pressure west of the Midwest over the Rockies and portions of the Western Plains. Think of the center either being over western Nebraska or back over Utah, whereas a trough is aligned on the East Coast. So with that configuration, the jet is running northwest. Most times of the year, including this one, that tends to be a drier than normal pattern. And it looks like that over the next couple of weeks, about 75% of the Midwest will be in a drier than normal pattern. As for temperatures, there's no extreme heat on tap, mainly because the center of the ridge never makes it directly over the Midwest. At times it's as far as western Nebraska, but it never makes it to Illinois or Iowa. So temperatures in the western belt, the area closer to the ridge, will be a little bit above normal, but nothing extreme, whereas temperatures in the eastern belt, Indiana and Ohio, will tend to be very near normal for this time of year. So moderate temperatures, but drier than normal over the belt.
Let's follow that drier than normal pattern across the planet and see if we can expand into some other areas. The Canadian Plains earlier in the year were having a tough time. Did they recover or not?
They're having a tough time again, and it's only the southern portion of the prairies, but that area has been very dry for the last 6 weeks, and rainfall across that zone basically looks non-existent over the next couple of weeks. So for their spring wheat crop across the southern prairies, there's no question that yields are being impacted and hurt across those areas.
In France, they had not one, but two really hot periods.
Yeah.
Any chance they'll get a third one?
Yeah, they've had two historic heat waves in much of Central and Western Europe. The question becomes, is the pattern there to get a third? It does not look like that's going to happen. So very moderate temperatures for most of Europe as we go through the next couple of weeks, and no signs of another third historic heat wave. I think they're fine with just two this summer, but very moderate temperatures as we go into the first couple of weeks of August.
Let's travel eastward to India. What are their conditions like?
Yeah, India is interesting. The monsoon this entire year has been very sporadic, but it comes down to a crop-by-crop situation, meaning that the soybean belt in India has been okay, not ideal, but they've gotten enough rain across the region that's in that central zone of India. But other areas of the subcontinent have really been dry, so like sugarcane areas and peanut areas, groundnuts, things like that. But the soybean area in general has been okay this monsoon season, whereas other areas of the country have had some deficits. Been a pretty spotty monsoon up to this point, and that general trend looks to continue.
And finally, China's growing region sweeps in a great arc from the south to the northeast. What do conditions look like from one place to the next there?
Yeah, the central area is the area that's had some problems here lately, some dryness, some heat, but there's no expansion in that area of heat and dryness. Of course, the big growing area, especially for corn, is further up north in the northeastern portion of China. They've been stable for the past 2 or 3 weeks, will remain stable as we go into early August. So while we have had some problems in central China, there's no sign kind of that expanding into some of the bigger producing areas, either north or south in China.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
No, my pleasure, Todd.
John Davis is with Risk Pulse. He's in Chicago, Illinois. Well, let's check now the cash grain market. We're joined by Amy Sage. She's at the Anderson's this afternoon right here in Champaign County. Hey, good afternoon to you, Amy.
Good afternoon.
Well, the rainfall came through Champaign County, and I saw it come across parts of Illinois and disperse into Indiana, I suppose, though I didn't watch it for that long. It just wasn't nearly enough rain, I suppose, and farmers would have liked a lot more. Is that the case?
That is the case. We got... Sounds like anywhere from a tenth to four-tenths right around this area is what I've heard so far, which is pretty much what they were calling for. And, you know, it, of course, it's better than nothing, but we need quite a bit more and nothing really in the forecast here for the rest of this week.
I was watching it come across Logan County because, of course, I have a farm there, and I, two and a half, I think, tenths on the farm or something like that. But Logan County and parts of it had it. There were some places that picked up a couple inches or two and a half, something like that. And so it's hit or miss. Farmers would sure like a rain, and right now they're probably telling you prices just aren't high enough for them. Is that right?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, in addition to that, as people feel better about their crop, you know, that might inspire a little more confidence in selling. But we also have the August 12th re-survey of acres along with the typical S&D coming up. So I think for the most part, people want to see what that says. And again, as you say, don't feel that prices are high enough considering the conditions that we've seen so far.
So we have had at periods this year where the cash basis has led the market higher. Is it just steady? Is it moving at all?
It has been pretty steady here for the past week now, maybe even 10 days, where we haven't seen it really fall off, but we haven't seen the increases on every day or every other day basis that we had seen there for a while. So it's kind of stabled off here for the past week or so. We have seen a little bit of back off in processor bean basis, depending on where you're at. There's also still been some improvements, so I would call that flat as well. New crop basis really hasn't moved here now for the past week either. So again, nothing lower here, but we're not seeing the rallying basis. So it's kind of at a standstill. And we may see a little bit of an adjustment with that again once we see the results of the August 12th report too.
And what are your bids for the day?
You bet. Corn is at 429, fall at 432, cash soybeans 857, fall beans at 864, and cash wheat at 490 today.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Amy Sage is with the Andersons, joins us here in the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon. Helped us to wrap up a look at what happened in Chicago at the CME Group. You can hear her again, the whole of our programming, anytime you'd like, at WILLAG.org. You can find us as a podcast as well. Look in the Google Play Store. We are in iTunes, along with Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and of course, in the NPR One app. And one of the best ways to do it is just to visit our website at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. You have a great Monday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.